Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
I started with Gen X.
Okay.
So we start with Gen X.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
1965 to 1980.
Yep.
These are birth years, of course. Millennials.
So 80 is the cutoff for X. Stocker, you were born in 80?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're the end. You're the end point.
Yeah. Yeah, some sites say 81, 82. Yeah. Some say 80, but okay. Let's just go 80.
Okay.
Millennials are 1981 to 1996. So yep. You are a millennial. You know this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was born in 84. Yeah,
even though you don't claim us.
But I identify as Gen X.
All right.
Yes.
Gen Z birth years are 1997 to 2010.
Okay.
Gen Alpha, 2010 to 2024.
Okay, my daughters were born in 2014, so they're Gen Alpha.
Gen Alpha, and now there is a Gen Beta.
Oh, this is going to be a soft group.
Birth years, rather, 2025, it's going to be to 2039.
Okay, so they just started those.
They
just started. The newborn infants.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You think they're going to be softer?
Oh, there's no question.
You don't think it kind of goes back and forth? You know that like circle, like good times.
I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Soft people equals bad times, mm-mm. And that leads to harder,
nope.
More resilient people. Okay.
Nope.
It's just going to get softer and softer until we all turn to mush.
Okay. Hopefully I'm dead.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, fair enough.
Speaking of freedom and driving, our buddy Ray in Warminster wants to jump in. It's been a while since we chatted with Ray. Ray, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Ray.
Hey, good morning, all. Hope everybody's well.
We're doing good, buddy.
The driving thing, man. Back when I was growing up, you were dying to get that driver's license, man. You couldn't wait. I was 16 in 83, right? When I got my driver's license, I got it within 6 days of getting my permit. I took it up to Poconos in the rain. But the thing is, you know, the thing is, these kids, and I really, really think this way, I call it like the Ozempic attitude. Nobody wants to put the work in to get anything done, right? So, you know, their video games give them their life. They don't want to. I think it's a combination of being lazy, but I think it's also a combination of they're so confined with their little world. They're afraid to get out of it. They're just scared.
Yeah.
These guys don't even know what it's like to go to the mall on a Friday night.
No.
You know, not that the malls were. I mean, on a Friday night back in the 80s, when you went to the mall, it was like the greatest thing in the world, man.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
they're missing all that.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. Even in the 90s, right? I mean, I'd be dropped off at the mall in 1994 or 1995, video arcade. All right, get dropped off on a Friday night at 6:30, and my mom would be back at 9 o'clock when the mall closed. Like that was like living. You go to the wall and maybe grab a CD. Or you go to, what else was in the mall back in the day? Walden Books. Remember
Spencer's?
Spencer's with those goofy t-shirts.
See all the dirty cards and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Those were fun days. Those were good times.
Out. Yep. All right. 855-839-1210. Bruno at the bottom of the hour. Cut sheet at 745. Let's get down to business. Round number two of the news. Here is Anna Hummel.
All right. Today is April 8th, 2025, and it is currently 40 degrees in Philadelphia. Today's weather is partly sunny, windy, and cold with a high of 47. And tonight you can expect a clear with a freeze, a low of 29. New Septibus cameras will catch illegally parked vehicles issued parking tickets.
Thank God.
Be careful where you park because the Philadelphia Parking Authority is about to have many more watchful eyes across the city. New AI cameras will be installed on 150 buses and 30 trolleys to capture any vehicle that is illegally parked in a bus lane, at a bus stop, or double parked along Philly streets. Starting on April 16th, the PPA will turn on its AI-powered SEPTA bus cameras to record bus lane violators on camera. Parking violations will then automatically be issued, costing $76 in Center City and $51 in other sections. And the ticketing will begin May 7th. So
we're now living in a SEPTA surveillance state. Any update yesterday as to what happened with the bus that was pushing the car down the road
for
a mile?
No, I didn't see any update on
How
it.
Is there no follow-up to that?
Well, my question is, and we brought this up yesterday in that video, is that how long did that bus take that car down Roosevelt Boulevard?
I know. It reminds me of the one scene in what football movie was it with remember the movie with Michael Orr and Sandra Bullock when they adopt the kid?
Yeah,
The Blind Side.
Yeah, Blind Side. Yeah,
and he shoves the kid and he's driving. They finally get him motivated and he pushes the kid all the way down the field through the end zone over the fence.
Yeah,
and like, all right, you got to blow the whistle. The play's over. Let the kid go. That's what the bus did to that.
Trying to send a message.
Yeah. Right.
By the way, Dr. Phelan McGroin, great YouTube chatter, says, thank God, really? I was being facetious. No, I don't want surveillance.
No.
I didn't know if these like cars are a problem where they're parked in.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
They are, but SEPTA is not a, like, they're not part of the PPA.
No. But they're also, I mean, there's so many things. I mean, you got to see some of these streets with the bike lane and then the people on the scooters.
Yeah.
I almost clipped another scooter guy in the little scooter lane yesterday. I'm making a left-hand turn. I've got the green arrow blinking to make so I can make the left-hand turn. And if I didn't look into my rear view, my side mirror on the driver's side door, I never would have seen this little hipster coming flying up like Lloyd in Dumb and Dumber on the scooter.
Yeah.
And I would have drilled him.
Yeah.
And it would be my fault.
Totally.
And he doesn't even care that I'm turning. And he's got his headphones on, completely detached from society. We go back to generations.
Gen Z, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, this whole society of, hey, my earbuds are in, so don't approach me. I'm off limits.
Mm-hmm.
I got to admit, when I go grocery shopping, I put my earbuds in.
Do you really?
But I don't. It's not because I want to tune people out. I'm just, it's the only hour and a half of peace I get.
Aren't you like, I don't know, when I'm in public, especially with a bunch of people, I kind of want to know what's going on around me.
Nah. Thank you.
But
thank
I'm also
you.
Like a woman, so we got to be just a little bit more
care.
On high alert sort of
care.
A thing.
Right.
If there's a fight or someone screaming, you know what I mean?
Or a pervert.
Just want to be like head on a swivel, especially when I'm here. I'll tell you that much.
I'm just hoping somebody gropes me.
Praying.
Sucker's just hoping
please
for some action.
Holy crap!
I mean, I wear my earbuds at the gym and when I'm doing a radio show. If I'm shopping, whether it's in a retail establishment or the grocery store, I don't have anything in my ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to hear the ambiance of the grocery store.
What ambiance?
I want to smell the fabric softener in the fabric softener aisle. I want to see the mist on the kale and the cabbage.
Yeah. If someone starts shooting, I want to hear it and not think it's like, oh, was that part of the Lil Wayne song I was listening to? Oh, no, there's an active shooter in this Publix. I got to run. Yeah. Former Bucks County officer, fire company president faces child porn charges. A former Bucks County police officer and fire company president who was previously charged with corruption of minors in the 1980s and theft in 2018 is now accused of posting a sexually explicit photo of an underage girl online. Gary Margernum, 67, of Levittown, Pennsylvania, is charged with child porn and other related offenses. The investigation began when detectives of the Bucks County District Attorney's Office received a cyber tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children reporting a user on the instant messaging app Kik saved, shared, or uploaded child sexual abuse material in December of 2024. Investigators determined Marjoram was the suspected user.
Should have used the Signal app. He could have avoided this. Yeah, I mean, you know, I defend police and fire and first responders as much as anybody. Can't really defend them in this situation, though.
Kind
of a disgusting thing.
Yeah, not good.
Special place in the joint for these people. Special place in the afterlife for these people.
Philly Bryson Stott wears pink armband as gender reveal for friend's baby. Kind of a cute story. Pink isn't usually part of the Phillies color scheme, no matter which uniform they may be wearing during any given game. But this past weekend, Phillies second baseman Bryson Stott added a touch of pink for good reason, a gender reveal for a friend who is expecting. During Saturday's game against the Los Angeles Dodgers, Stott wore a pink armband as a gender reveal for his friend Ryan Stevens, a custom cleat maker from Downingtown, Pennsylvania.
All right. So, you know, I've seen this happen at a frequent rate lately, these gender reveals in sports. Be one thing, I would give Bryson Stott or any athlete somewhat of a pass if it was his wife and the gender reveal for their kid.
Yeah.
But now we have pro athletes doing gender reveals on behalf of other people.
Friends.
Of friends. I mean, does any... Honest question. And I'll be the curmudgeon here. That's fine. Does anybody at Citizens Bank Park, of the 44,000 people watching the Phillies and Dodgers on a Saturday, give a rip about a gender reveal party?
But he didn't do it for them. He did it for that one... Like,
why?
What's the problem with it?
Can't we just... Whatever happened to just playing sports?
Maybe for the women in the audience who are like, aww.
Whatever happened to just no political messaging?
It's not political.
No social messaging.
It's not social.
No family, friends, and culture. Are these, like, I'm serious. You got these cleats that they wear now with special causes and different colors that don't match the team uniform. This individuality. Can you just play the game?
It was not a message for anybody but the intended recipient. Who cares?
I thought it was ridiculous. Sweet.
I'm so tired of it.
Anna could be giving smoke signals to her boyfriend. You know what I mean? Nobody knows. It's between them.
I'll wear a patch tomorrow on my shirt, and nobody will have a clue on YouTube what the hell it stands for, but it'll be for the audience of one. Ridiculous.
As long as it doesn't start a forest fire, these gender reveals are kind of getting out of control sometimes. I think that the little armband was fine.
I agree, Nick, that the social messaging is out of control with athletes. But this is just some nice gesture that he wanted to do for his friends.
And what do we do with all the extra genders now? Because before it used to be powder blue or pink, right?
Right.
What's purple mean?
Yeah.
What's teal?
Salt Queen.
Yeah.
Kale with another bad take. Yeah, exactly, Salt Queen. Thank you.
All right. After the big take, all the takes are bad. All right. What else do you have? Anything else?
That is it. Kale and Company News Live.
Gender reveal party. By the way, did you throw a gender reveal party, Stalker, when you had your kid?
No, because we didn't find out until our child was born.
Okay.
We did it old fashioned.
Yeah. We did not have a gender. To my knowledge, and if my wife's listening, she'll definitely correct me, I don't remember a gender reveal party, although I do remember the first time that we went to, I don't know what they call it, was it the gynecologist?
OBGYN.
OBGYN, and they did the ultrasound, they're like, oh, you got two in there, and I was like, oh boy.
Oh my God. Right, are they identical?
No, they're fraternal. Look nothing alike, act nothing alike. But then the second appointment, we found out that they were both girls. So we left the first time saying, okay, if we have twin girls, these are the names, Olivia, Mia. If they're boys, Mason and Jackson were going to be the names. And if there was one each, and we were going to just pick one of each from each of the categories. And then we went back the second time and found that it was girls. But I don't think we had a reveal party. I think we just like texted and called and sat down with friends and family. Yeah. And were like, we're having twins. And everyone was like the stock market yesterday. Oh my God, Jim, I told Jim Cramer about it and his head exploded. He said it was going to be worse than Black Monday in 87. And for 10 years, it has been.
Yeah, these gender reveal, I've never been to one, actually, but they are getting kind of out of control. I've seen a lot of them online
So I've convinced you. This is my whole point.
Yeah, like they'll have helicopters with the chemtrails of a certain color.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Fireworks starting forest fires. It's not good.
Yeah, whatever happened to flying the little banner over the shore in Atlantic City or at the Jersey Shore, will you marry me? That was the extent of which I would go. Like,
okay.
You could tell I'm not a romantic guy. You could tell.
No comment.
855-839-1210. All right. Coming up next, we're going to work our way towards Tony Bruno. I'm going to get to this free speech story. Reason.com. How Obama and Biden paved the way for Trump's attacks on universities, which is very interesting when you think about the pro-Palestinian anti-Semitic protests that we have seen throughout the Ivy Leagues and all of these college campuses. We're going to get to this story coming up next. It's Kale and Company, and we're back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
You were saying, because I was just watching the clip, and it's just so awkward. Everything he does is just bizarre. Like,
he's clunky.
You're right. He's clunky. He's your governor.
Yeah.
And I know you had a lot to say about it during the break, so I'll just kind of let you tee it up here.
Oh, I ran into his parents at a St. Paddy's Day festival, I guess.
Okay. How were they?
Cool. They look just like him.
Right.
Yeah, they were like super nice. And I think this was like 2022.
Were they wearing boots?
No, they were just embracing their shortness.
Okay.
Yeah, they were fine.
Ron's in the family.
But 2022, Ron DeSantis was like the prince of Florida. Mm-hmm. We loved him for keeping things open.
Yep.
So I totally like fangirled out when I met his parents. I'm like, your son is awesome.
Right.
Kept us free. They probably were not.
And he rolled the reelection victory too. I mean, he was legitimately the red wave that year.
Yeah. And they were pretty like timid people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't like very boisterous or charismatic. So I feel like I was too much energy for them.
Well,
so I got a picture and left.
That's the vibe I get from his wife, who, you know, Casey DeSantis.
Well, I have a crush on her.
Well, I have a crush on her too, so we have something
awesome
in common.
Yeah.
So she, to me, I just don't see her having the success in politics, because even though DeSantis is clunky and he's awkward and he lacks the one thing that Trump has, right? Like, Trump has the charisma, the X factor, the it factor. But if you're ranking, you know, DeSantis and measuring and stacking him up on accomplishments, policy, I mean, he's a stud. He's a champion. Mm-hmm. He's like the Florida Gators. Mm-hmm. But where you look at that potential governor battle, and it's not a sexist thing. I just think she needs to have... Say what you want about DeSantis. He's got backbone. He will fight you. Mm-hmm. He will verbally joust with you. So he's got that agitated demeanor that Trump will have when a left-wing reporter asks him a question that he doesn't like.
Yeah.
I don't know that Casey DeSantis has that, whereas I do believe Byron Donalds has that.
Yeah.
I saw the clip yesterday. Byron Donalds, the congressman from Florida, who you guys know I love. I would have put him in the cabinet. I thought he was worthy of many different spots for the Trump administration. And he's a Trump guy and not necessarily a DeSantis guy, so you could see why he'll be potentially running against Casey if they square off for the Republican primary. He was being harassed by an LGBTQ protester yesterday. And she's just, and she's got her mask on, the purple hair. Do we have this?
Yeah,
Phil, I didn't know that this was on the cut sheet.
Phil, this is 31. Thanks for reading my cut sheet, by the way. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
No, but this is great here. Watch the way he handles this left-wing psycho. And this is really indicative, I think, of the left versus the right today. Whereas the right tries to just stay measured, even-keeled, hit you back, and even like Vivek Ramaswamy, willing to listen to you,
mm-hmm.
and then give you their counterpoint. But you can't debate somebody like this lady that Byron Donalds had to deal with. You can't.
You have to see them.
Watch
too.
This clip here.
The video is. I mean, they look exactly as they sound.
Okay.
Roll this film. Go.
As a member of Congress, because I was in D.C. on Monday for Trans Day Visibility, and I would like you, as a member...
Can I stop this for a second and just throw in a piece of commentary here?
Yeah.
If this were a Republican doing this to a black Democrat...
Female.
Can you imagine...
Right.
Can you imagine the outrage that would happen on the media, like white person explaining to black person how things work in his face, in her face, whatever. This would have been wall-to-wall mainstream coverage.
Imagine me doing this to Ilhan Omar.
Yeah. You would be branded a racist, a sexist. By the
misogynist.
Way,
misogynist.
I don't think she's. I don't think she's any of those things. I think she's just nuts.
She's just holding up a sign that says Trump's a fascist.
But if this were if the roles were reversed, it would be a very different story. Mainstream media.
Yeah.
Phil,
watch Byron just handle this.
Phil, can you start this over again?
Just perfectly.
Go.
As a member of Congress, because I was just in D.C. on Monday for Trans Day Visibility, and I would like you, as a member of Congress, to rise up and support LGBTQ plus youth and stop this insane attack on our children who know who they are.
Number one, no.
Of course you're not, because you're a fascist. You're a traitor. You're a race traitor, and you are a fascist.
Guys, got to do a better job here. Come on.
If all you want to do is yell and scream and curse when I don't agree with you, I'm sorry, ma'am. You are now in the 20% of America.
Mm-hmm. She is in the 20%.
I'm going to be your governor.
Did she?
No, you're not.
I'm going to be your governor.
Did she call him a race traitor?
I don't know what she said there. I have no idea.
Wow.
But, I mean, he's literally trying to say, number one, as in, here's my first point, she won't even let him get his point out.
Yeah.
That's not debate. That's not discourse. That's not discussion. That's certainly not dialogue. That's a lady who's hell-bent on her belief. And that's fine. You believe what you want to believe. I'm all for free speech and believing anything you want to believe. But if you're going to approach me, let's have a conversation on it. And, oh, by the way, it's fascinating that the left, the far left, is willing to die on this hill, especially when we talk about trans athletes in sports where 90% of Americans think that dudes shouldn't be in women's sports. But the Democrats right now are pretty much on the wrong side of every 80-20 issue in America.
Yeah.
And she's just shouting down Byron. She doesn't give a damn what Byron Donalds has to say.
No.
She just wants to have her moment.
I wonder what would have happened if he was just like, yeah, I agree with you. Like, I feel like she would have yelled at him anyways. Like, yeah. She just was in the mood for confrontation.
Yes, indeed.
And she did call him a race traitor, by the way.
Like,
which is so racist.
Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. You're black. You should think this way.
Yes.
Right.
It is so racist.
Especially to come from a white woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, if the roles were reversed, this would be a wall-to-wall mainstream media coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe this white MAGA woman is telling this African American Democrat how to think and how to
vote?
Talking down, pointing in his face.
Mm-hmm. It's almost as if that these people, these psychos on the left, just think based on. See, this is what happens. I think when you get so consumed and wrapped up in identity politics, you actually become the racist because you label everybody and you stereotype everybody. Not every black person grows up in the ghetto. Not every black person grows up to be a Democrat. Not every white person grows up to be a Republican. Not every white person grew up in a country club. Like, there are poor white people. There are rich black people. There are well-educated white people, so forth and so on. It's like you go back to the Jasmine Crockett thing, which we had a caller months ago talk about it. I guess it's called code breaking or code speak.
Switching.
Code switching, yes. And to me, I feel like that's inauthentic.
Oh, 100%.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're pandering to whatever crowd you're in front of.
Correct.
So who are you really? I don't know.
Right. We saw Kamala do that on the campaign trail.
Every day.
She had a Jamaican accent one day. She was acting like she was from the hood one day. Then all of a sudden she was uppity, uptown girl. I mean, to me, like, and I always bring up this example when I moved to Nashville in 2018 as a guy from Pennsylvania. Now, I get it. There's a lot of transplants there. I never once tried to adopt a Southern drawl.
Hmm.
I didn't, when I came back here, I didn't bring the word y'all with me.
No.
Right? Like, you hear that in the South.
Right.
Right? You also hear that in the ghetto as well. But, like, I didn't, because it's not me. Like, yeah. I'm not going to try to, this is who I am, and I'm not going to try to, like, I'm just going to assume that you're going to like me if we have something in common and you deem me to be a good person. I don't need to change my dialect.
Yeah. By the way, we have Jasmine Crockett who said yesterday she's advocating for illegal immigration again.
Right, right.
Basically advocating for immigrant slave labor.
Right.
And this is what she said yesterday. Roll this.
So I had to go around the country and educate people about what immigrants do for this country or the fact that we are a country of immigrants.
Right.
The fact is, ain't none of y'all trying to go and farm right now. Okay, so I'm lying. Raise your hand.
Such a fraud.
You're not. We done picking cotton.
Wow.
We are. You can't pay us enough to find a plantation.
Mm. Oh, my Lord.
That's kind of racist, right?
Yeah, she's a bum.
I want the immigrants here so they can do the job.
We done picking cotton.
Yeah.
Man.
Right. By the way, $20,000 a year private high school she went to, University of Houston law degree.
Yep.
You know, to me, I have black friends, I have white friends. I don't change the way I speak when I'm around different races.
Yeah.
This is how I sound all the time.
We make this argument all the time, Anna, because I know where Nick grew up.
Mm.
Nick grew up actually in a more impoverished neighborhood than Jasmine Crockett did.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, okay. It's 100%. It's 100% factual.
From $6 an hour to six figures, how Nick Cale did it through the old-fashioned hard work way.
Tony Bruno probably did.
Yeah, Bruno grew up in South Philadelphia in a row home.
Bruno, you there?
Is he there? Do we have him?
Good morning. Yes, I've been listening to the entire program from 6 o'clock.
Beautiful.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm locked in. Even if I'm not on, I'm listening live, local, and late breaking down here in the home of the only school that has three championships in college football, championships in college basketball, your Florida Gators.
Wow.
Florida is where woke goes to die.
Yeah.
Great to be a Florida Gator.
Yeah.
But you grew up in a more impoverished neighborhood than Jasmine Crockett did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I grew up at 15th and Wharton in South Philly, you know, which was which was ethnically mixed. There were black people, white people, Hispanics in that area. We didn't have any problems. And this is back in the 60s where we were supposed to have problems. There's more problems now in Philadelphia neighborhoods than there was in the 60s.
What's going on, Bruno? Are you happy with the Philly start, by the way? Nice little start to the season,
absolutely. Absolutely. They're in Atlanta tonight, weather permitting. Now, it's unbelievable. I was talking last week on a podcast with the guys who do the John Kruk podcast.
John.
They were talking about John Kruk.
Yeah.
And good guys, local guys, you know, they do a good job. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, you know, I was boasting, wow, the weather's been great so far. I mean, look, there haven't been any rain delays. I'm talking about with the Phillies, you know, because the Phillies have been home. They had a little, I mean, it was cold the other day and not a beautiful day for baseball, but they've been playing these games. Now, all of a sudden, you got snow in Colorado. You got snow everywhere. And so that's what's going on. So we, even though we're in April, we still have bad weather and it's still cold. I mean, it's still cold in Philly, right?
Yeah.
It is.
Oh my God.
It is. We bring Anna Hummel up from Florida, which by the way, we got to figure out how close you and Anna are geographically. She gets here. It's 48 and raining. The weather sucks again.
It's an outrage. That's why I stay down here. I don't leave.
Where are you in Naples?
Except to go up to the house.
Question mark?
No. I'm in Cape Coral, which is right next to the best airport in Southwest Florida, which is the Fort Myers Airport is the best airport in America as far as getting out of Florida, getting into Florida. It's awesome. I know you're up in the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah, by Clearwater.
I remember you, Anna, when you were working with Bubba the Love Spot.
Oh, Jesus.
I love it.
How do you feel about Bubba?
I like Bubba. I mean, he does his thing.
Yeah.
My favorite Bubba bit.
I wish
was
him
the,
well.
My ahead, favorite sorry. Bubba bit was the. He used to always make fun of what was the county up there, the real redneck county in Florida.
Pasco?
I mean, there are redneck counties.
Lee County.
No, not Pasco. Hernando County.
Okay.
Hernando County.
Yeah, yeah. Tony loved that.
He did.
I'm on the West Coast, which is the best coast, as you know, Anna.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
I have a question. How come? And Nick and Greg don't sound like Tony? You guys are from Philly, maybe kind of.
We're Lehigh Valley.
That's a different.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't have the thick Philly accent.
We're Philadelphia adjacent.
Yeah, we're phony Philly. Tony is actual Philly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's why we need him on the show for credibility.
That was,
no, because when I got into radio, I had, you know, the whole thing was, don't sound like you have a Philly accent.
Yeah.
Don't sound like you're from any region. Now it doesn't matter where you're from. You can have a bad Boston accent, New York, Philly. It doesn't matter anymore. But back in the day, you know, I was it's like classical guitar and classical piano players.
Yeah.
I was a classical broadcaster. And I never played classical music, even though I like it. But I was just old school, you know, diction, enunciation. Again, I have nothing against. I could sound South Philly if you need me to, but I prefer not.
By the way,
can you code break or code switch?
By the way, can we put a bow on the Ron DeSantis thing since you mentioned it to start this this segment? This was him in San Antonio last night watching the Florida Gators bring it home. Roll Governor
Mustard.
The Gators have brought it home from San Antonio and have won the national championship.
Oh my God.
So cringe.
The Gators have brought it home from San Antonio and I'm Ed from Del Ran.
Shame.
I was rioting in the streets last night. I didn't even watch the game. I didn't watch one of the NCAA. I remember back in the day I used to do pools.
Yep.
I didn't pay attention to one game. I got
really?
So much other stuff going. I don't look at my 401k like everybody does. I don't go crazy. Jim Cramer, by the way, looks like a guy who at 7 a.m. is on a bender in a really crappy bar in Kensington drinking gin and tonics and bad beer. How is this guy still on network television giving financial advice? Remember when he had to go on Jon Stewart after the financial collapse and basically was scolded as a loser?
He was.
And people still listen to this clown?
I know.
He's a bigger disgrace to Philadelphia than Jake Tapper.
Wow. Can't believe you're taking shots at Kensington Gin and Tonics. What's wrong with a little beef eater?
Nothing's wrong with it.
I love a little beef eater.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying those bars operate, and for guys like Jim Cramer, he would be the guy you would see sitting there alone at 7 a.m. drinking his gin and tonic at K&A.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Let's stay on track for the cut sheet at 7:45.
We will. We'll get to a break.
Sorry. No. I'm sorry. I have a lot building inside of me. The Beach Boys once said.
I suddenly have an urge for Chip Snapper from Kensington with Joe Conklin. We'll see if we can get Conklin on the line. Bruno's with us. The cut sheet is next. It's just two guys from outside of Philadelphia with two people from Florida as we continue here on Kale & Company. But first, a word from our friends at Natural Lawn of America. When choosing a lawn care service, doesn't it make sense to hire a company that provides better results and is safer for your family and pets? That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals, and they use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while promoting and protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. But don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn Safer Services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full-service program today and get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose My Lawn Care Company, the locally owned and operated Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
Yeah, what's on the cut sheet on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Kitchen Magic. Make magic happen with Kitchen Magic. Their experts will guide you every step of the way, from free in-home design consultation to top-notch insulation. Installation. Right now, enjoy 40% off installation. 40% off the cost of installation. Come on, do it now. Visit kitchenmagic.com today. What are you waiting for? Kitchenmagic.com. Do it right now.
Yeah. Speaking of Kitchen Magic, not my style to give my wife praise or credit on the radio.
Yeah, not.
She made some Kitchen Magic last night. A meatloaf that was just outrageous.
Mom, the meatloaf!
Mom,
yeah, thank you for doing that.
Oh.
Great scene.
God.
Wait, does she use ketchup?
She went, 80-20 ground sirloin, a little onion, well, not a little, a lot of onion, a lot of garlic, ketchup mixed with brown sugar to glaze it across
the top. Yeah.
And my God, I ate about four slices. I didn't lose any weight yesterday, folks.
Maybe that's why you're up a point three of a pound.
That's why I'm up a third of a pound.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm down under 200 pounds for the first time in a couple of years.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
You know what my system is? I go out in 90-degree weather and 90-degree humidity at my house and work 12 hours after I'm done doing this stuff.
Wow.
That's how you do it.
That's
you go outside, the sun's out. That's the secret. Go outside, move your body.
Yeah, move.
Shake your body.
Move something.
You gotta, as the great Michelle Obama proved, it's not even exercise. You're doing exercise without exercising.
I understand.
You know, you're lifting up sheetrock.
Right? Yeah.
You're doing...
Non-intentional exercise.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. I think they call that neat.
All right. So Bruno goes outside, walks around for 12 hours. I go home and take a nap, and that's why he
walks around. I'm lifting 350 12-foot pieces of sheetrock.
Well,
Come on, man.
That's why you're under 200, and I'm at 215.
By the way, Road Warrior, the official associate producer of Kale & Company, says that recipe is actually Betty Crocker.
I don't care who it was. It was damn good. Thanks, Road Warrior.
Betty Crocker ever banned? I think Betty Crocker may have been the only female or anybody with a their picture on a box of anything that hasn't been banned or canceled.
But. I was always a Betty White fan, personally.
Sorry.
She was my favorite Golden Girl. I'll give you that. Yeah.
Jeez, she was a big vodka connoisseur.
Can I start, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I start?
Take it away, kid.
Enough with these bad jokes.
Dazzle us.
Iran.
Iraq.
Are we going to war with Iran?
I'm married.
I hope not.
Tony Bruno?
No, but Iran's so far away, though, one of my favorite bangers. I know you guys are playing a lot of fringe oldies today, but you got to play the hits, guys.
Yeah.
You got to play the hits.
Yeah, speaking of playing the hits.
Maybe we can spend two more hours talking about Trump v. DeSantis.
No, I don't want to talk about that. I want to know why, when you buy gas, you support Trump, When you buy gas, you support Trump. When you own a Tesla, you're a Nazi. Explain that logic on a sign. That's the sign I saw yesterday.
Great question.
When you buy gas, you're supporting Trump. When you own a Tesla, you're a Nazi. Explain that logic, please.
Yes.
Bibi Netanyahu was in the White House yesterday talking about talking with President Trump, and Iran came up, and there's supposed to be some sort of deal reached, right, Tony?
Let's yes.
Cut 32 here.
No, I think if the talks aren't successful with Iran, I think Iran's going to be in great danger. And I hate to say it. Uh-oh. Great danger, because they can't have a nuclear weapon.
So today, yes.
You know, it's not a complicated formula. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. That's all there is.
So
you can't have it.
Ready.
Right now, we have countries that have nuclear power that shouldn't have it. But I'm sure we'll be able to negotiate out of that, too, as part of this later on down the line. But Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. And if the talks are successful, I actually think it'll be a very bad day for Iran, if that's the case. Yeah.
Well, I hope we're not heading to direct conflict and war.
In the largest single deployment of stealth bombers in U.S. history, the Pentagon has sent 6 B-2 Spirit aircraft to Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So
to be on what? Standby, I'm assuming?
Yeah, if his talks don't go south.
Well, so. I mean, Iran can't be trusted with nuclear energy and a nuclear weapon. We know Iran has, in many facets and regards, a hit out on Trump. They want him dead. They fund the Houthis, who are attacking us in you know, different geographic locations. And then, of course, Iran funds a lot of the terrorism that you see in the Middle East. To me, you can. I think, Tony and Anna, I think you can argue, forget Russia and China, I think you could argue Iran is the biggest thorn in our side. At least from a military standpoint and a war standpoint.
Absolutely, because they have the power. Now, they don't have the Air Force or the kind of – they just have the money that we gave back to them after they were frozen when Joe Biden let them have their money back so that they can fund all of these other terrorist groups in that region. So that's what's going on here. Are they a threat? Well, you know, they're really far away, but – they're a threat because they fund other criminal organizations, and that's the only fear, because they're operating in our own country here.
Yeah.
And then you have like Eric, what's the guy, the guy who slept with a Chinese spy.
Swalwell.
Yeah. He's out there.
What was her name?
Yeah.
Fang.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Fang Fang Bang Bang.
I was going to say something else,
bang,
and
bang.
I didn't want to make sure.
Bangbang.com.
Gotcha.
Check it out.
President Trump also. So with all this Doge talk, President Trump announced yesterday this is cut 28, Phil. Go.
We have great things happening with our military. We also essentially approved a budget, which is in the facility. You'll like to hear this, of $1 trillion, and nobody's seen anything like it. We have to build our military, and we're very cost conscious, but the military is something that we have to build, and we have to be strong, because you got a lot of bad forces out there now. So we're going to be approving a budget, and I'm proud to say, actually, the biggest one we've ever done for the military.
Record-breaking $1 trillion Pentagon budget?
I don't like that at all.
Are you guys on board with this?
No. Well, it's not that I'm not on board. This was what you forecasted. This is, I got to give a tip of the cap to Stalker, because Stalker had said, see, I do listen when everybody else speaks. Stalker had said, it's great if we're saving all this money with Doge, but if we take that and allocate that towards our defense budget in the military, well, A, we're not going to see any money coming back to us. And more importantly, wouldn't we be criticizing the Democrats if they're building up the military to go to war? I don't think we're going to war. I think we're going to continue to see these little individual attacks where, like, Trump plays 18 holes of golf, walks inside, puts the headset on, and then watches a terrorist's head get blown into 18 pieces, which is badass.
And does the next 9 holes.
Yeah, and then does another 9 holes.
Yeah.
But I want my tax breaks, I want my tax cuts, and I want some of this Doge discovery dough to come back to us taxpayers. So I hope we get that. I'm in wait-and-see mode.
Tony?
I'm not about war. I mean, you know, I've never been. I was
love.
Protesting back when you.
Yeah.
I was protesting in the 60s when my friends were going to die in Vietnam.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm not one of these boomers who's out there now walking around with signs to make $25 an hour to pretend that I'm woke. These people are idiots. The baby boomer generation, if you look at all these people protesting, hands off, I'm hands on.
Yeah.
You get near me and get in my face. And that's why here in Florida, you don't see any Teslas being tagged up. Because people here respect other people's properties for the most part, right?
Yep.
We have law and order down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Florida's the FAFO state.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially where I live is it's heavy Trump country. Yeah. But what I like about Florida is, like, if I go a little bit south to St. Pete, it's very blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I really enjoy living in Florida because I think the perfect combination is living in a blue city in a red state. So you get kind of the funkiness of, like a liberal town, but then you can leave and you have law and order in the surrounding areas.
Well, that's kind of how I was in Nashville. I mean, Nashville was a blue city in a red state.
It's the best combination.
Yeah, and you've got some great culture there and some of the things that you like with the city. Although, at least in Nashville, there was still law and order. I would think, I've never been to Miami. It's a bucket list item. But Miami, for the most part, they don't mess around,
Republican mayor.
Right. Suarez,
Yeah, but I do have to say that them coffee is the best.
Wait, a coffee shop named after pronouns?
No, but you know what I mean? Like, you go and you see the flag, all the flags, the colors, the rainbow. But the coffee there is bar none the best. The baristas, you just got to pretend like you're one of them.
Yeah.
But they do coffee right.
Well, so. I will say, Starbucks is very woke, but they make good coffee.
Wait a minute. Nick, you've never been to Miami?
No, should I have been to Miami at some point? I mean,
I hate to do it to you, man. Yeah, I mean, the drivers there are the craziest drivers on earth. That's the one bad thing about Miami and Fort Lauderdale. People drive like they're on the Autobahn in Germany.
Yeah.
They don't care about speed limits. They're going in and out of traffic. It's scary to drive in Miami, but it's beautiful there.
I can't believe you're ripping me. You're ripping me for not being to Miami. Like I said, I've never been to an Eagles game or something. Seriously.
Well, I mean, Miami is like one of those cities in Florida that pretty much everybody's been to at least once.
I need to go.
Yeah, but you should
do it to
you,
man. It's not my style.
Yep.
Yeah, make
it's
sure
not
you...
my. The great thing about Miami is the Cuban Americans in Miami are absolutely conservative. They are liberals in Miami.
Of course.
By the way, getting back to the war and the defense, the spending, no lib writes about Trump. He's correct. You have no clue, both Greg and Nick. Do you understand China now has a larger Navy than us? All I'm saying is this what we signed up for? Like, we want to cut waste, fraud, and abuse? Great. We want to trim, we want to trim spending and cut the budget? Great. But we can't reallocate it to defense spending.
Well, that's why I'm in wait-and-see mode, because I do think this is a... not a side effect, but this is the result of our military being weakened over the last 4 or 5 years. And yes, China is badass. Like I've said this on the show, Russia, not concerned with Iran, sinister intentions. But if we went toe to toe with Iran,
they're not. I don't want to say they're not a threat. They're a regional threat for sure.
Right.
But like compared to our military, it's a joke.
We would dust them.
China is the one
that I don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
But I mean, Iran's a threat for me because, like Tony was saying, they have their tentacles in everything, right? Yeah, they're funding the Houthis,
Hezbollah,
Hamas. You know, they're bankrolling all of the terrorism, and not to rank one over the other. I mean, communist nations are sinister, but the radicalized jihadist Islamic extremists that are willing to walk into a building with like Tommy Boy with road flares on their chest and blow you up. That's a dangerous, sick group of people.
Well, there's lots of problems with Iran, obviously, but the main one is that they're global jihadists. They're not just like, hey, we just have an idea for Iran. This is how we want to run things here. This is no, we want everybody, the world. We'll start regionally, but we want the world to become Muslim extremists.
Yeah. Well, they don't believe in Western values. They don't believe in Christianity.
They did.
Right.
Back in before 79, but it used to be a very modern country. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately,
their G League is heavily stacked, unlike the 76ers and many of the other NBA teams.
Are you saying the radical Islamic extremists have a deeper bench than the Sixers?
Anybody has a deeper bench than the Sixers.
By the way, Tony's better half, Miss Robin, is in the chat, and she says Trump is just making sure we have a big stick.
Well, I mean,
of course, who doesn't like a big stick?
Right. Well, sometimes the stick size doesn't matter. It matters how you use it.
It's true.
Right?
Pete Hegseth said this yesterday about bombing the Houthis. Houthis? Hooties?
Hootie-hoo? No, I think it's Houthis,
Or Hooties. Houthis, roll it.
It's been a bad 3 weeks for the Houthis, and it's about to get worse. It's been a devastating campaign, whether it's underground facilities, weapons manufacturing, bunkers, troops in the open, air defense assets. We are not going to relent. And it's only to get more unrelenting until the Houthis declare they will stop shooting at our ships. And we've been very clear, the Iranians as well, they should not continue to provide support to the Houthis, and that message has been made very clear. So we have a lot more options and a lot more pressure to apply, and we know, because we see the reports, how devastating this campaign has been in them, and we will not relent.
Look, I think it's worth pointing out. I mean, if you're anti-war, that doesn't mean you're not in favor of retaliating in self-defense.
100%.
So, like, you've got this ragtag pirate operation of the Houthis.
That's the government of Yemen.
Yeah. They want to keep going after United States naval ships and our military. Well, then we're going to obliterate you into the dirt. Now, I think it's a different thing when you talk about, you know, forcefully taking Greenland or Denmark, which, you know, the Trump administration is obsessed with, and, you know, all the Trump apologists will be like, well, it's a tactical maneuver. It's calculated, because if you look at the globe, over there's Russia. I guaranteed, though, if you said Joe Biden was going to take over Greenland, oh, the Democrats are the warmongers. You can't have it both ways. Yeah. I'm all for self-defense, but I'm not interested in starting a conflict if there's no need to.
Right.
That's kind of my point.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like
we all agree.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like the Greenlanders want to be annexed from Denmark.
No, they're not happy with J.D. Vance.
Yeah, yeah.
One more on Trump with the talks with Iran. This is cut 15, Phil. This is what he said with that, roll it.
I think if the talks aren't successful with Iran, I think Iran is going to be in great danger. And I hate to say it, great danger, because they can't have a nuclear weapon. You know, it's not a complicated formula. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. That's all there is.
So
can't have it.
Ready.
Right now we have countries that have nuclear power that shouldn't have it. But I'm sure we'll be able to negotiate out of that, too, as part of this later on down the line. But Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. And if the talks aren't successful, I actually think it'll be a very bad day for Iran, if that's the case. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you keep messing around and you're going to get what's coming your way. The one thing I would say, partisan politics aside, we forget Trump for a second, forget Iran. This has just always been a view. I think this probably got passed down to me from my dad. My dad was very much anti-war, but he was a guy who loved this country, but also hated the fact that we were the world's police. So, like, you know, he would be, if he was alive today, he would be totally against, you know, all of the foreign aid and things like that. He would be very much America first. I don't like the mindset of the United States. This has always been with me. Telling other nations what they can and cannot have. And I get why Iran should not have nuclear weapons. I'm not defending their right to have them. But I hate the fact that we kind of tell the world what you can or cannot have. That's never sat well with me.
Yeah, sometimes we go in there and change regimes.
Right.
Against the will of the people. It doesn't usually go well, I'll say that.
Right, right.
So...
The tariffs were also a big discussion in the Oval Office yesterday with Netanyahu from Israel was there. So it was funny yesterday because the stocks did a quick rebound because there was a fake news report out. I think CNN and all of them had the White House was considering a 90-day pause on the tariffs. A reporter asked Trump about it. He said, nope, that's fake news. And the stock markets immediately went back down. This is cut 18, Phil, if you want to roll that. Thank you.
Would you be open to a pause in tariffs to allow for negotiation?
Well, we're not looking at that. We have many, many countries that are coming to negotiate deals with us, and they're going to be fair deals. And in certain cases, they're going to be paying substantial tariffs. There'll be fair deals. As you know, I spoke this morning with the Prime Minister of Japan, and we had a very good conversation. They're coming. And I said, one thing, you're going to have to open up your country, because we sold no cars, like zero cars in Japan, and they sold millions of cars into our country. They don't really take our agriculture, a little bit of it, just to keep us slightly happy, but they don't take what they're supposed to be taking. So we have a great relationship with Japan. We're going to keep it that way, but they're coming in to meet, and other countries are coming in. With China, as you know, against my statement, they
put a 34% tariff on above what their ridiculous tariffs were already. And I said, if that tariff isn't removed by tomorrow at 12 o'clock, we're putting a 50% tariff on above the tariffs that we put on. So they've gone for years. They've become a rich country because of people, again, that were in the White House that allowed this to happen. Hundreds of billions of dollars a year they'd make on us on trade. And it shouldn't be that way. And I have a great relationship with President Xi. I hope it's going to stay that way. I have great respect for China. But they can't do this. We're going to have one shot at this. And no other president's going to do this, what I'm doing. And I'll tell you what, it's an honor to do it because we have been just destroyed what they've done to our system. You know, we have $36 trillion of debt for a reason. And the reason is that people allowed it to get that way. So we'll be talking to China. We'll be talking to a lot of different countries. And I think, you know, if we can make a really fair deal and a good deal for the United States, not a good deal for others. This is America first. It's now America first. And we didn't put America first. We put America last. The people that were in the Oval Office put America last, and we're not going to stand for it. Yeah.
It's hard to believe we had to wait till 2025 for a president that wants to right the wrongs of all of these bad trade deals. And it's labeled as a trade war. It's reckless. It's tariff turmoil and tumult, Tony. I don't know about you. Were you checking your 401k every single second yesterday? No. And freaking out over the ebbs and flows?
I have not looked at my 401k, which is crumbling, just like everybody else the last time I looked. I stay away from that. I stay away from looking at bank accounts, credit card statements. I've been charging everything. I'm like the government. I probably have $50,000 in credit card debt right now.
Wow.
And I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to make the minimum payment every month because that's the financial situation. But I'm not crying. I'm not doing GoFundMes.
You're outside.
I'm just living like everybody else. Yeah. I mean, that's what I do. I go outside. I catch some crabs off the dock.
Nice.
You know, when I have a chance. But I'm working every day. I just want to live my life and not worry about things I can't control. Amen. Worrying about your 401k right now, the stock market's going to go back up. It always does. Everybody thinks the stock market's super important. It's only for these people who sit at home all day and then try to buy the dip and then buy the tip and then buy just for a second.
Just the tip.
Just relax.
Just the tip.
For just a second. That's all.
Yeah.
I checked to see if I have enough money today to go out and buy some more paint for my house. That's what I checked. I don't worry about, you know, I don't have another 50 years to worry about my future. I'm in semi-retirement now, so everybody's in the same boat.
Yep.
The people who hate America, they're all going to root against, you know, they want these tariffs to be a disaster, even though they, too, are being affected by it. But at least, you know, the Democrats will have $25 checks for some of these nitwits to go out there and pretend like they're doing something with this hands-off idiocy, the latest farce.
You talk about people rooting for it to fail. There was somebody in the media yesterday. I don't know if it was in a Democrat or the media. It's basically the same entity. But they were saying that this is intentional, that Trump and the Republicans are trying to tank the economy on purpose. Yeah. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Trump has the White House. He's got the House. He's got the Senate. He's got the Supreme Court. We're less than a year and a half away from the midterms. You think Trump wants the economy to go down to crap? If he's wrong on the tariffs, if we end up with hyperinflation, Republicans are going to get dusted in the primaries. How anybody arrives at the conclusion that Trump's doing this intentionally to tank the market is beyond me. I don't understand that, but then again, also, I don't understand anything they say.
Also, he's been saying it since the 90s, so like I'm not sure why.
Right.
You know, if he was trying to tank the market, he would have.
And by the way, there are countries now giving in.
Yeah.
This is the negotiating strategy.
Yeah,
so Vietnam, a whole bunch of countries have now said, okay, let's sit, let's talk, let's get rid of this. Tariffs are just, you know, it's not like, remember who was the old broad with the gray hair who was, it's transitory. Yeah. You know, inflation is transitory.
Janet Yellen.
We have a transitory inflation day of of Remembrance or whatever they were calling that. What was the Trans Day of Visibility? Did we have a Transitory Inflation Day of Visibility? It's every day. Every day is this Inflation Transitory Day of Observing, whatever the hell it is.
To piggyback off of what Tony just said, this is Treasury Secretary Bessent saying exactly what, according to the White House, 70 countries have approached the White House to negotiate tariff deals. Roll this.
I haven't seen anything from them, but Larry, I can tell you that there are 50, 60, maybe almost 70 countries now who have approached us. So it's going to be a busy April, May, maybe into June. And Japan is a very important military ally. They're a very important economic ally. And the U.S. has a lot of history with them. So I would expect that Japan's going to get priority just because they came forward very quickly, but it's going to be very busy. And if President Trump again gave himself maximum negotiating leverage, and just when he achieved the maximum leverage, he's willing to start talking.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Bessent's probably my favorite guy to hear and talk about the tariff stuff, because he doesn't sell you a bag of goods like Lutnick. He's not a you know, like coming off like a TV sales pitchman type guy, very measured, a little bit more reserved with what, you know, they should do percentage wise. I think if it was up to Howard Lutnick, he would be going with, you know, reciprocal tariffs to every country across the board. But I thought Senator Kennedy made a great point. That's why I played it yesterday in Monday's Big Take, Tony. 170 other nations, they all utilize tariffs against the United States and other countries. And China, they impose tariffs on everybody. They don't have inflation, they have deflation. Why can't we be the same, right? Why can't we look at what if it works? It's always with the media, what if it doesn't work? It's always the negative and the doom and gloom with Trump.
Yeah, and then you have the normal, you know, the Schiffs and all these other guys, and Raskin from Maryland out there trying to impeach Trump and trying to get him on all these technicalities, still screaming about the signal thing. I mean, these people, they just want to pound the same tired talking points. And now they're just trying at this, let's throw everything against the wall and see if it sticks. I root for America. I don't care who the president is. I'm not worried about midterm elections. Nobody gives a crap about that except people who are in the political world. Why do I give a crap about the Republicans in the midterms? I don't care about political parties. I want everybody to understand that we're all in this together. You know, I'm not going to use cliches here, but it's ridiculous that the everyday things, when Trump is trying to do what he told everybody he's going to do, and they know better. They know better about tariffs. I want to listen to Jon Stewart talk about tariffs. I want to watch late night comedy shows talk about tariffs and what it means to us. Come on, man.
I don't know about you. I like my late night shows to focus on abortion.
By the way, we're going to get to a late night show. John Oliver did a 45-minute bit on, and when I say bit, I mean a 45-minute monologue on why the trans athlete sports debate is actually a non-debate, and that women actually, or men actually, don't have an advantage over men.
So he spent 45 minutes being wrong.
He spent
the great biologist, John Oliver.
Before we get there, let me play. When you hear all of these Democrats coming out saying, this is bad policy. Let's remember what they were saying in 2005. This is Chuck Schumer in 2005, passionately advocating for a 27.5% tariff on China. This is a long clip, but I'm just going to play like 30 seconds of it because you'll get the gist.
Okay.
Roll it.
It says to the Chinese, enough already.
Yes.
It says to the Chinese that their unfair trade policies have got to end.
Uh-oh.
It says to the Chinese, this is a shot across your bow. Reform, because if you don't, there are going to be dramatic consequences throughout the world, in our country, and in your country as well.
There you go.
There's Chuck E. Cheese back in the day.
Yeah. The thing about the left leaning, they're not leaning. They're like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, the media. They're so left wing. You know, Jake Tapper, I'm not a liberal. I'm not left. I mean, the bottom line is all of this video is available to show what hypocrites these people are. You can do the whataboutism on both sides about everything. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we have videotape of these people now all of a sudden hating it when they also loved tariffs? Obama put tariffs on China. Everybody puts tariffs because we were getting screwed. Once China stole all of our stuff and started making stuff and shipping it over to Walmart so you can buy $1 toilet plungers, I mean, that's nobody cared back then. That's what it was. We wanted cheap stuff made in China. Yeah. And so, you know, if these companies start making the chips and things in this country, then things will get better. But it's not going to happen overnight. There's nonsense every single day. That's why I stay off. I'm not even on social media much.
I've noticed go outside. That. Yeah, you've been kind of dark.
I'd rather go outside in the sun and sweat my ass off than sit inside and go on Twitter and listen to all these strappers crying 24/7.
Yeah,
it's sickening.
As Greg Stocker once said.
Not everything needs to be on Twitter.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Strappers like Dave Portnoy bitching that they lost 10% of their net wealth. Go eat another pizza.
Exactly. This is a guy that sits around and wagers $200,000 on college basketball and is crying about his 401k.
That's a good point.
What a strapper.
That is
guy.
A great
a
point.
Strapper.
Yeah.
You mentioned the next Speaker of the House, Hakeem Jeffries, saying that he's that maybe Trump is trying to deliberately tank the economy.
Oh, it was him that said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew somebody
yeah.
said that.
This is, what do you call him, Dollar Store Obama?
Dollar Store Obama.
Roll this.
Yeah, he is. He's Timu Obama.
Timu.
Timu.
What would be your question to Greer?
The Trump tariffs, which are a tax on the American people, are so reckless, so unstrategic, so lacking in any sophistication, that the only conclusion that one can draw
that should be the speaker of anything.
Republicans are intentionally tanking the economy.
Intentionally, yeah.
Is it because, as Donald Trump has indicated, that during tough economic times, the rich get richer?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a buying opportunity? Those mm-hmm. are Trump's words.
Yeah.
Can you confirm?
But what's
no.
your question?
I just asked it.
This guy's unbelievable. This is why Republicans, you better not be sitting at home in 2026, or this guy's going to be the Speaker of the House. If the Democrats take it back. You know, it's a tax on me, Dollar Store Obama, living in Montgomery County. I get it. My problem. My fault. I chose to live there. Taxes going up again. You know, it's a tax on me, the Biden student loan bailout program, where
yeah,
other people
exactly.
have to get the bounce out of their tuition reimbursement and all of their expenses for the loans when they signed a master promissory note. So I got to pay off my loans, and then I'm going to pay off yours as well. I mean, Trump has said, and I can't believe we have to repeat this time and time and time again, not to mention Schumer, Bernie, all these Democrats, 2005, 2012, 2017, they were all on board with, you know, taxing China, tariffing every nation under the sun. Trump has said it in 1990, in 1995, played you that clip today when he was on the campaign trail in 2012 talking about it. I mean, none of this, and he said he would do it this past election cycle. This should not be a surprise to anybody. And he's also said that there might be some pain. It's been full transparency across the board and complete hypocrisy across the board from the Democrats of yesteryear when they apparently had a functional brain.
By the way, streaming live.
Exactly.
Streaming
exactly.
live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. I'm seeing a big discrepancy between the number of likes and the people watching. And I don't
it's an
like
outrage.
That.
I will not stand for it.
Thank you, Tony.
I will not stand for
Are you
it.
Gonna
I was
filibuster?
The first person.
Yes. Wait.
I'm going to filibuster. The 25-hour, we did the 25-hour filibuster on the cut sheet last week.
We did.
So that we played that out just like the dude from in Newark up there. Are they still talking about him?
Booker.
Poor
yeah.
Booker, yeah.
Yeah, he was on The View. He's making his rounds now that he's done the 25-hour.
And that's no bathroom breaks?
No bathroom breaks, no.
25 hours.
Yeah, it's really unhealthy.
Suspect.
You've gone to the bathroom and for coffee 3 times in 2.5
I
hours,
know.
Hummel.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
I think he wet his pants.
Well, look,
There's
she's
no
all
way.
Bundled up. Did you take your parka up? Because when you go to Philly this time of the year, you got to have that light parka so that when you go outside, you don't freeze.
Yeah.
She had earmuffs on this morning.
She has like a... she did.
This is very cold for me. You know, I'm from San Diego. I live in Florida. So this 40 degrees is not my bag.
It sucks. I agree.
The weather up here this week, Tony, is horrendous. It's like 40 degrees and rainy like all week.
And apparently it's my fault.
It is.
It was the same way when you brought me back up here 3 years ago in March or April. The weather blew. I was like, what am I doing here?
It's you're 100% right. It was sunny up until Anna came here.
I arrived.
That's right.
And then we had audio issues on 1210 to be.
Whoa.
Yep.
Audio issues over the radio yesterday, and we didn't start
video today.
The YouTube until 6:02 this morning. So
I'm going to pull up the shades. People want to see.
Oh boy,
it's natural light.
A little overcast today. Yeah. 78 right. It's 78 right.
I love 78.
Nice. A little overcast though. Overcast.
I'm going to start boycotting until the number watching matches the number likes.
Why don't you filibuster until you get the likes you want?
I'm not going to do that.
A vast right wing conspiracy? Or is this the me? Is this Timu Obama?
So
putting a kibosh on the show. By the way, Melania is looking good in the corner you're watching on the YouTube chat. You see her?
Yeah. Why don't you,
Anna? Did you see my?
Can you slide Melania? Back and can you bring up the cardboard cutout a little closer to the camera?
Taylor Swift.
Let me bring Melania up.
Look at this. Here we go.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Yeah, there it is.
She is not. No BS with Melania. Yeah. Okay, I can't see your face.
Just keep Melania in front of you, right there.
There we go.
See her? Yeah.
Yes.
Is that better now?
That's good.
Very nice.
Lovely lady. Wow.
Watch those hands, Tone.
Hey.
Speaking of, by the way. Speaking of fake strapper, Tony, he interviewed a CEO of a steel manufacturing company yesterday in hopes that they would trash the tariffs, and this guy's actually in favor of it, so it didn't go quite as well as he was hoping it would. This is cut 24, Phil, if you can see that there, cut 24, roll this.
Tariffs are going to be very good for the American manufacturing worker.
Uh-oh.
We're very excited about this new leveling of the playing field. Right now, when we export, for example, this basket to Germany right here, it's a precision medical basket, a medical device basket. When we ship that to Germany, the German government taxes our clients $128.95 per basket. If a German competitor ships it to America, it's $1.25 per basket. It is so unfair what's happening to the American worker. They can't compete when you have that kind of unlevel playing field. We're talking about an opportunity finally to create a lot of millions of American jobs, middle class jobs, if we could get it fair. We're not looking for something over the German factory workers or the British factory workers, or the Chinese factory workers. We just want to be fair. If we're fair, the American technology, creativity, work ethic is going to just do extraordinary things. And we're going to create millions of American jobs with this new paradigm.
Wow.
I'm not sure if that's the face Jake Tapper makes he's in front of a female or... Or his cat died.
Jake Tapper. Hey, Jake Strapper.
The two biggest
disgraces to Philadelphia, Jim Cramer and Jake Strapper. Those guys should never be allowed back in the city of Philadelphia ever again.
Cramer and Strapper. Sounds like a future Odyssey podcast.
By the way, Chris Eppolito says, The cardboard cutout has the same IQ as Melania.
Oh,
are you serious? She speaks like five languages, you moron.
Chris,
come on, man. Chris is Hang on.
Chris would not take that shot if Dawn was here.
Chris is a great listener. I think he's kidding.
I know he is. I'm
texting Dawn right now that Melania is under.
Text her right now.
She'll fly
in her contact.
She'll fly from Italy.
She'll fly back on Air Force One quicker than your head can spin.
Yeah. Eppolito is the man, and I know he's a.
I know, I'm busting his chops.
But there's other industries. I mean, the auto, the steel manufacturing industry. I saw a clip yesterday with farmers, with beef, with cows. They're going to be doing well. There's a lot of industries out there that are going to do well because of tariffs. There's other industries like automotive. I saw yesterday Volkswagen and Audi are stopping the importing of all of their vehicles to the United States until further notice. So if you want a import, you're probably going to have to look at Honda or Hyundai in the meantime. And I would suggest the Piazza Auto Group for that.
Exactly. you have cut 27. Good for you, Phil. The Reverend Al Sharpton.
No.
He has given Pepsi, the Pepsi company, an ultimatum.
Okay.
Either
of course.
DEI initiatives,
or we will drink Mr. Pibb
within 3 weeks, or he will call
Mr. Pibb,
or he will call for a boycott.
Boycotting soda.
Yeah. Roll it.
We had our convention this week. Martin Luther King III and others joined me as we put on notice those companies like Pepsi Cola that we will withdraw patronage from those that do not live up to what they voluntarily committed in DEI.
Wow. Right.
So Pepsi's going to take a plunge, so that's a gain for Coke?
Wow.
This guy.
Can you believe this guy? This is what Jesse Jackson used to do back in the day. They would go into companies and say, if you don't hire, you know, six more African-Americans on your board of directors, we're going to shut you down. Mm-hmm. And this clown who still has a job on television pushing his fake organization, I don't know how his head stays on his body. Have you ever noticed how much bigger his head is than the rest of his body? I mean, you know, Adam Schiff has the long neck, and so does what's-her-face, Maddow.
Yeah.
I don't know how their heads stay on their body their necks are so long. Reverend Al doesn't have a long neck, but his head is, like, proportionately impossible. He looks like Stonehenge. You know what I mean? The guy just doesn't...
On a Hummel, I think maybe Trump should put a tariff on Sharpton's tongue so he'll stop speaking or start thinking before he speaks. You know what? He's not as bad anymore. The new guy, the new Ray Spader, I don't know if you've seen him on Elie Mystel.
No.
The guy he's been around for a while.
You know how old he is, Tone? He's 46. He's 46. Wow. He looks like he's 66.
Well, with the gray...
With
the gray fro.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens when you don't go outside.
Q-tip.
Yeah, the Cornel West 2.0 guy.
Yeah.
We should stay on track here. Take a little break, really quick break. But when we come back, we have so much more.
He does have a lot.
I don't know how we're going to get through all of this today.
Sorry, we have until 10:30. It's Kale and Company as we continue live on a Tuesday morning. I always feel like it's a Wednesday with Bruno, but it's a Tuesday. Yeah. But Bruno will be here tomorrow as well.
And Friday.
And Friday, by the way.
Yeah. Mark your calendars. And Friday, too, the big Friday festivities.
Yeah, buy one, get two with Bruno as we continue here on Kale and Company. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And we're talking today about the 2025 Acura ADX. That's right, Piazza Acura. Latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup. Now, this premium compact SUV is a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation. With a turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology, the Acura ADX, engineered for those who demand more. And best of all, it's now available at all of their dealerships, Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester, with leases as low as $389 per month. Under $400 a month for a Acura SUV, Piazza Acura. Check them out today. Visit PiazzaAcura.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Phil, play the video of the little pups there.
They're adorable.
Look at those.
Oh, my God.
Look at those. Look at those things.
Yeah. So cute.
Until they bite
your head off.
Until they kill us.
Uh-huh.
That's Remus and Romulus.
Romulus.
Yes. Now, there is a little, because it was taken from gray wolves, right? Mm-hmm. And they were mixed with puppies.
Yep.
It's like a dog.
So it's basically like a Siberian husky is what you're saying?
Well, they're saying now...
Which are beautiful dogs, by the way.
There might be a little fake news in the fact that there is actually no... direwolf DNA, is that what you're saying, Anna?
Yeah, I think the direwolf DNA was mapped, and then they altered the gray wolf DNA, and then it was implanted into some female dog, I'm assuming some sort of husky or something like that. And so it's like this hybrid between wolf and dog, but it's not an extinct version of the direwolf. As I understand it now, I could be wrong.
Has Brian Stelter of CNN confirmed the authenticity of the story yet?
I mean, it's a real story. They're doing this. Okay. And apparently, if you read the Times story, that they, you know, these aren't domesticated animals. They don't even really want to get close to humans.
Okay.
So there is there is wolf in them. They're not puppies.
And the point of this is to do what?
Well, to
put them back out into the wild or have them as pets if you domesticate them from jump?
I know what it is.
What is it?
There's another Jurassic Park movie coming out this summer. I'm not making it up.
No, you're right.
They've rebooted it.
Yeah.
Rebooted it again.
Yep.
So that's what it is. This is a lead up. It will do better, of course, than the stupid Snow White movie.
Yes.
Is that still in theaters or is that at Blockbuster?
That's already gone to the Blu-ray and VHS.
Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of reboots, they're rebooting Naked Gun, Bruno, with Liam Neeson in the role of Leslie
Nielsen.
You would have been great in Naked Gun.
Lieutenant Frank Drebin.
You would have been a great Frank Drebin.
That's why. Who, me?
Yeah, you would have been great in Naked Gun.
I'm not an actor.
No,
I love those movies. Those are the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah.
And all the other movies like Blazing Saddles and all the movies you can't make today.
All right, so let me ask you guys.
That's how far we've come.
Do we know on this story with these wacko dogs, are they eventually going to be repopulated and brought back to the point where they will be available to purchase?
No, I think they're just purchase. No, they're not. I don't think the goal is to domesticate.
Well, I was going to ask, would any of you try to actually raise one and keep one as a pet? That was my ultimate question.
No.
Because I have no interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love dogs.
No.
They're not dogs. They're wolves.
I know. But I love all of that that genre.
Dogs
that
are descendants.
Species.
Aren't dogs descendants
of wolves? Yes, they are.
Of
course they are. But,
yeah.
but
I'll put it this way.
Dogs, we know it, are domesticated.
I'll roll the dice and take a chance on that wolf or whatever that thing is that we're talking about before I buy a cat.
You don't like cats. What kind of dog do you have?
I have a lab.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like labs. I've had three labs. I'd like to either get a Rottweiler or a. I love Siberian Huskies. Beautiful.
So speaking of gene editing.
Yes.
Boy,
is Gene in the back room editing today?
Yes. She's sitting next to Phil.
So this is Ben Lamb. He's a biotech entrepreneur. He was on. Joe Rogan's show the other day.
Oh, I saw this.
And he talked about China.
Yep.
Is not just experimenting. They are actually, they've created genetically modified children.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know how like we do genetically modified meat?
Yep.
They're doing children
in China. And our children are doing pronouns. We're effed.
And he has the receipts to prove this.
China, Russia, it is getting weird. Like CRISPR and these genome engineering tools are outside of the it's like the genie out of the bottle, right? It's like it's out there. You can't put it back in.
So just to stop it for 1 second, the CRISPR and all that stuff is what we were talking about with the gene editing with these dire wolves.
Yep.
So we're bringing back extinct animals, allegedly, and China is like, nope, hold my beer. We're gonna do children.
Are they trying to create kind of the perfect child?
Eugenics?
Yeah, the master
race. Margaret Sanger catch?
Yep. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, so wait, we're supposed to abort kids because we can't afford them and nobody wants them anymore.
Yep.
And now we're going to have to genetically mess up our kids?
Yep.
Why don't we wait till they're 6 months old so they can tell us what they want to be and what their gender is?
I'm just looking
the old-fashioned way.
I'm just looking for China to have some consistency. It seems like they're trying to repopulate now when I thought the initial goal of COVID was to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah. All right, can you start this over, Phil? There we go.
China, Russia, it is getting weird. Like CRISPR and these genome engineering tools are outside of the bottle. They're out. It's like the genie out of the bottle, right? It's like it's out there. You can't put it back in. I think that more and more people in other countries are going to be doing things with these technologies for humans. That's why Colossal just said we will never do anything for humans. If someone else wants to use our technologies for humans, we'll evaluate.
But that gets so weird, right? Like the China story. You can't explain to people what they did. They said they were inoculating them from HIV, which is
They actually were engineering. Suspect. They were engineering babies in editing their embryos to confer a resistance to HIV. Now, still to this day, so they were cloning them, and then they were genetically modifying them. And so they're doing lots of things that are, there's a general moratorium in the world on some of these things around humans, anything that's considered a germline edit. So anything that could be passed on to the next generation, right? So if you if you engineer something into the genome, the fear is, you know, from a germline. So any all your cells in your body are somatic cells, except for your like egg or sperm. Those are germ cells. So anything that could be affected into the germline so that you pass it on to the next generation, that could be like, you know, Umbrella Corporation type moment, right? So
right.
We don't want that.
But the scary thing was they didn't just do that. They also edited something that would allow the child to have much higher intelligence.
Well, so that part's like that part's quote under debate. There's people that say that happened. There's people that say it doesn't happen. If you look at BGI or Beijing Genomics Institute, right? They did this thing that from a nefarious perspective was brilliant. From a nefarious perspective, is also terrifying. During COVID, they're like, we'll do all the COVID testing for you free. We'll do all this COVID testing for you for free. No worries. Just send us your data. We'll do it all for free. You just want to help the world, right? We'll work with the World Health Organization. Just send us all your samples from all your countries, everything. And publicly, the CEO of BGI has said, which is funded by the CCP, has said that they are looking at genes with humans. They are looking at what makes humans more intelligent. They don't shy away from this. This is not like some, you know, conspiracy like theory, like, is it a Sasquatch or is it just a man in an ape suit? This is something that is very real. They are openly saying, we are sequencing as much as we can of the world population looking for genes for intelligence, and we will act on that.
Wow.
Well, number one, thank God Trump distanced himself from the WHO. But number two, if this is a way to inoculate yourself from things that you can contract, like HIV or anything that can be passed down hereditarily, is this a bad sign for Big Pharma? Because it seems like they're trying to create a human being that wouldn't be subjected to all of the awful illnesses that we contract as slobs and disgusting human beings. I would think Big Pharma's not too happy about that, if I comprehended that clip correctly.
It's too confusing for me right now. Just do what you want. Have a baby, don't have a baby, trans your kids, untrans your kids, have them genetically. Just don't let me pay for it.
I don't want to pay
for any of your kids, your mistakes, your abortions, your genetic mutilations. Pay your own damn bills. I got my own to pay.
The CCP editing things is terrifying.
Yeah.
If you believe the CCP is as evil as
we're probably funding it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Anna, are you down with CCP?
Yeah, you know me.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, right? There, I thought that was the only thing to say.
If you didn't get that one, I would have just
leave you hanging,
exploded
Tony.
Right now.
Yeah.
Come on,
no,
man.
It's kind of interesting what you brought up, Nick, about pharmaceuticals, because it's kind of like a pharma v. pharma sort of situation. Like, if you look at Ozempic, right?
Yeah.
So if everybody's taking Ozempic, that's obviously a huge win for them. But then if that eliminates the need for metformin or statins or any of the high blood pressure medication, then that's going to be a problem for other people. But luckily, the way that Big Pharma works usually is that these sorts of drugs always come with side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And so for these side effects, you need other drugs so that yep. you know,
it's
combats those side effects. Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
Right.
So
it's one big cycle.
We'll see.
I don't know what's scarier, Big Pharma going to battle against a surveillance state or what you just talked about there with, you know, the cyclical nature of our food's contaminated, then we end up on medicine, and then this medicine fixes one problem 80% of the time,
but causes
seven other issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's how the whole game works.
Yeah.
As far as this, like, HIV thing, like, that seems like, oh, yay, that, what a win that nobody would get AIDS ever again. But obviously, it's slippery slope, because then you have just, you know, obviously they're trying to create perhaps like a master race where no one is under a certain height and, you know, everyone has the same color hair or the same color skin or something like that. And that can create problems, because if we're genetically too related, well, then you get in the inbreeding game, and that's no good.
Well, if we all have the same genetic factors, then we don't have diversity, equity, and inclusion, right?
Yeah.
I was told we all have to, you know.
Yeah, I don't think
they have much of that in China.
No.
What do you mean?
I don't think there's much DEI in China.
You don't think
Xi Jinping is filling out his cabinet with DEI selections?
Can I sidebar a personal story right now?
Yeah.
Yes. So
I love personal stories.
I was, this was probably like almost 14 years ago, but I went to Southeast Asia. I went to Vietnam.
Did you really?
Yeah. And I had a friend who got, like, mugged or whatever. Like, she lost her camera because someone stole it from her. So she had to go get a police report. And I went with her, and they asked her to describe the person that stole from her.
Okay.
And she was just kind of like, kind of look like you. I don't know.
Yeah, right?
So, yeah. Yeah, they're kind of more the same, not so much DEI over there. Yeah. I'm saying.
I mean, in her defense, it is. It's, you know, like I don't know. It was an Asian person,
right? Like, look in the mirror, friend. Kind of looked like you, bud.
So Anna's been to Vietnam.
Did you run into Da Nang Dick while you were there, or of course the legendary Hanoi Jane? Did you run into any of those?
No, I didn't. But I did lie about being American when I was in Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City, whatever
really?
You call it. Yeah, I went to the...
You went to Saigon?
Yeah, I went to the war museum. There's like a war museum there, and it just shows you, you know, horrible stuff about all the Agent Orange that the Americans dropped on the Vietnamese, mm-hmm. and they have all these like deformities and stuff. And then I went... This is so bizarre, but it was recommended to me, and I shouldn't have gone, but... It was this like massage. I don't want to call it a parlor because that makes it sound dirty.
Yeah.
But it was all blind masseuses. Like it was like a charity thing.
Yeah, it was like Jimmy Kelly running a massage shop.
Yeah, so all these people are blind. Yeah, exactly. All these people are blind, and I don't think they were blind because they were like, "Oh, you need to like take off your shoes or your shirt." I'm like, "Hey, how can you still see? You know, if I'm wearing it or not?" But anyways, yeah. So I realized that they were probably blind from the Agent Orange that was dropped on them, and so they're like, "Where are you from?" And
it's a sense of feel. You know, feel it. I mean, you can feel things better when you close your eyes.
Right, but they said this from like a distance, like, hey, you need to take this off. And I was like, hey, wait a second.
Yeah.
But I lied about being an American because I realized in that moment that it was probably the Agent Orange that the Americans dropped. That is why they're blind.
What did you say that you were?
Oh, just without skipping a beat. I'm like, I'm from Toronto. And my friend was with me, and she's from the UK. And I just like looked at her like, shut up.
We're Canadian today. Shut up.
Shut up. So, yeah. That was the only time I ever lied about being an American.
So you've been to Vietnam, and I haven't been to Miami.
I know.
Yeah.
Karen's, this is Cut 20, Phil. This is the director of Defense for Democracy. It's that radical organization that spies on conservatives. She says that out of her 7 children, 4 are queer, and the rest are dead to her.
Okay.
Is that even statistically possible?
I'm still trying to get a paternity test on my daughters, so damned if I know. Well, why would the other
three suck at math?
Why would the other 3 be dead to her? So she has 7. 4 are queer in the LGBTQIA community, I+ whatever else is on the end there. They keep adding to it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Can we stop adding to it? Can we just leave it at like 7 or 8 different symbols? So why would the other 3 be dead to her?
Because they're not queer.
Because they're just
heterosexual. For that reason?
Yeah. They're just heterosexual?
Why don't we play it instead of debating it? Why don't we play it?
All right, all right.
For me, I don't always tell my story, but at the end of the day, I have 7 children. 4 of them are members of the queer community, all right? So I'll joke and I'll say I have a L, a G, a B. I'll tell my straight kids they're dead to me. But
I mean, it's a joke.
It's a joke. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still, like, it's... How can 4 of your children, 4 of your 7 children, be LGBTQ?
That really seems like a statistical oddity because the population, I think, what is it, the percentage in America, is it 9 or 8%? And I think only 2% of that percentage are, quote, trans. So the fact that you cranked out, what is 4 out of 7, 58%? That seems like you hit the jackpot. with the LGBTQ banner.
Very unlikely.
Yeah. That's like hitting Powerball.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible. But the bigger question is, why would you be mad? I mean, this gives further credence to what those on the right are saying with indoctrinating children. Now, we always usually talk about it in, you know, school or a setting where it's not the parent doing the quote indoctrination. Yeah. But whatever happened to just having your kid, raising your kid, maybe a little tough love, and letting your kid find their own identity, as opposed to forcing an identity on them?
Well, I have no idea. I don't know this person, but it would seem to me that if you have 7 children and 4 are what she claims, it's more of the environment and not biology.
Yes, I think you can actually. I think you can be raised and be the result of the mental health
of
the household you grew up in.
We all take something from our parents, or bad, good or bad.
Yeah,
so,
environment and also genetics.
Yes,
but I'm surprised all seven aren't, because the three that aren't probably saw how much attention the four that were getting were probably like, hey, I want my mom to love me just as much as those.
Or maybe the other three were just like, this place is a nut house, and I want to get out of here. As soon as
I hope
can.
So, but. Right? Unlikely.
Why do you think I love the fact that when I turned 16, I got my license and I was able to drive, so able to get out of the house, so my mom didn't make my head explode?
Cut three here, Phil, before we have to break. This high school student was removed from her girls' varsity cross-country team and replaced by a male. And this is California, of course. Roll this.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Taylor Starling. I'm 16 years old, and I attend Martin Luther King High School. I have a 4.0 GPA, serve as vice president of my junior class, and volunteer with National Women's Charity League, and lead as captain of my school's cross-country and track and field teams. I was removed from my varsity girls' team and replaced by a newly eligible male transfer student who received favorable treatment. I worked every day during summer with my team and into the school year 6 days a week, waking up at 5 a.m. to attend morning practices and staying at school until 4:45 each day. My goal was to attain a varsity spot on my school's Division I CIF team. Not an easy feat, but one I accomplished. Since the start of the season in August, I ran in every varsity race. In late October, the male transfer student was given my spot after not being held to the same strict team requirements as me and the rest of the girls. He did not have to attend practice while my team and I were running 7 miles a day together. After having my spot taken away from me that I earned, I missed out on running with my varsity team in one of the top cross-country invitationals of the season. As a result of this unfair treatment, my teammate Caitlin and I wore shirts that said Save Girls Sports and stated that boys and girls are different. It's common sense. XX does not equal XY. This is not hateful or unkind. This is reality. However, our athletic director made me remove my shirt and told me it was like wearing a swastika. In front of a Jewish person, and said that I would face disciplinary action if I wore it again. My Title IX and free speech rights as a female matter too. Why are girls being told that we must sit down and be quiet while boys unfairly get ahead of us in life? Why do boys not have to attend practice and make the sacrifices that us girls make in order to be scholar athletes? Just because those boys believe they are transgender. Girls matter too. Please protect us. Thank you.
You know, I thought it was just awful that you had to compete against the male and then finish in second because the guy came in first. Mm-hmm. It's actually worse when you lose your full spot, right? Like you go from being a starter to being on the bench or being on the team to being cut or not making the team because a dude is playing in your biologically designed division.
Yeah. Yeah, and sadly, this is like best case scenario, because best case scenario, it's just unfair, but worst case scenario, it's actually dangerous. I think I referenced this fight last week with, I think there was a UF or MMA fighter, Fallon Fox, who was a biological male and he was breaking occipital lobes like in the cage. So it's really, really dangerous, and you know, kudos to this girl for standing up for it. And shame on the athletic director.
Yeah, right.
For comparing that to a swastika, clearly that person should be removed from their position.
Yeah, I agree.
Remember when we were told that there's only a few of these? I mean, what are we getting upset about?
We have these stories every day.
People who are telling the common sense people who can see how wrong this is that, oh, there's only a few of them, now don't have any answers to why we see this every single day. They had a competition where they had two biological males playing in the biological females playing in the men's division.
Mm-hmm.
So at least one fake woman won that event.
Yeah.
But so why not have a trans version of the billiard championship? It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's just so easy.
I said create a whole division.
This doesn't happen. It's not really that many people. It seems there's more than ever every single day when you look at all of these stories with all these genetic freaks continuing to demand that they be recognized. And women are being screwed over, but the feminists are still silent on this. You notice that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. but they're not genetic freaks. They're men.
Right.
They're just dudes. Yeah, like, and I know this example gets brought up all the time, but like if LeBron James just decided to wear a wig and join the NBA, it's game over.
Yeah.
It's completely unfair, and it's really sad. And much like you, Tony, like, it seemed like 10 years ago, nobody was trans. And I really had a lot of sympathy for, like, what a horrible affliction to feel like you're in the wrong body. Mm-hmm. But right now, exactly. I don't really care anymore. And it's really annoying, and it seems like every third person is a trans this and a trans that.
We have to break, but we have so much more on the other side.
All right. Kale and Company, as we roll on, first a word from our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders, because they don't make furniture like they used to. And if you're tired of cheap, mass-produced junk, let me tell you about Bucks County Estate Traders. Their massive Hatfield showroom has over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture, brands like Stickley, Baker, and Henredon, the kind of quality craftsmanship that stands the test of time. And you can save thousands compared to new retail prices. No matter your style, classic, modern, rustic, or traditional, you'll find stunning pieces that fit today's homes. Whether you're furnishing your living or dining room, that home office, or even the man cave, Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you could take it home the same day. Every piece comes with a QR code, which displays the details instantly. And their expert staff is the best in the business. With no pushy salespeople, they're straight shooters, just like yours truly, who know their stuff. Pro tip, check out their website and call ahead. Those pieces will be ready the same day to show you. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or stop by their showroom in Hatfield.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.